last word. What a promise we have as believers in Christ Jesus. We see so much death, so much dying, so many people, even this in the last couple of weeks in this community, the people that we've known. And all of us have experienced the loss of someone we love. And why is that? Why does death happen? It's a result of man's sin. But God has conquered death. Jesus Christ has overcome it for us. So death does not get the last word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 55 through 57 says this, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning thanking you once again for this awesome privilege that we have of joining together in your name. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us. And Lord, I pray that your word goes forth and brings honor and glory to you as it should. That you would be exalted and magnified in this place and in our hearts. That we would pour ourselves before you. We would come before your feet humbly. Thank you, Lord, that your promises are sure. We have that assurance to all who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, we know that death does not have a grip on us. It does not have the last word because you are God. And Lord, I pray that if there's one or others in this room who have never fully trusted you as Savior, who have given their life to you and have that assurance that they would know today for sure what it takes to be saved, what it takes to spend eternity with you, so that when this flesh is gone and returned to dust, we would know the truth of your word. And we would be in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Work in this place in a mighty way. Be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Death is one of those things we don't like to talk about. We don't want to experience death. We don't like to be around death. It's painful. It's something we can't do anything about many times. Nevertheless, every one of us will have a confrontation with death. With someone close to us, friends, and eventually, personally. In many ways, it seems so final. But you know, it's not. It's not final. It is not the end. So many times, people deal with death thinking that that's it. That's all there is. But God wants us to know there's so much more than this world, so much more than this flesh. And death itself is actually an enemy. Look at these verses with me. 1 Corinthians 15:26. The Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Bible describes death here as the last enemy. How is that? Because there will come a time when there will be no more death. And it is the last enemy that will be defeated. Actually has been defeated already because of Christ. You know, God created man to live and not die. But man chose death. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man," speaking of Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Because of Adam, we are born dead. We are born without life. And we find that death came because of sin. In Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. And graves and cemeteries remind us that death stalks us all. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." We will all. Stand. Before this. Enemy. But death doesn't get the last word. Are you glad? Are you glad that God foresaw, foreknew that Adam would sin? And that man, because of Adam, would enter into this death? That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to make the one payment and the only payment that could be made for that sin. God sent His only Son. God came Himself in the person of Jesus Christ and provided salvation, saving grace, for all who would believe. So we find then salvation shouts and says death doesn't get the last word. Jesus came to restore what was lost because of sin. Adam was made to have fellowship with God. And that fellowship and that life was broken because of sin. Jesus came to restore that. And He did so with His own blood, with the payment for man's sin. He came to seek and to save the lost, the ones who had no hope. In Luke 19:10 it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." His purpose. He came to bring life to dying sinners. Jesus says in John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." He's telling us He has a power to give life to the dead. Amen. We are able to be saved because of Jesus Christ. We are able to have life even though we were dead. And Jesus conquers two types of death. He conquered spiritual death. And turn over into Ephesians chapter 2. And let's start with verse 4. And it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, even when we had no hope, this death, this spiritual death, we grow up thinking we're alive. We're born thinking we're living. We jump off into the world thinking, I've got a whole lifetime ahead of me. And yet we really don't know that. But what we fail to realize as mankind is that we are already dead spiritually. We've been separated from God spiritually because of sin. But there's also the physical death. And Jesus conquered that as well. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57, the text that I read at the beginning, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus conquered spiritual death and physical death. And because of that, we can live. We can have that life. We find faith in Christ brings that everlasting life. How do I attain life that does not die? In John 6, 47, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Life comes through Jesus Christ alone. He provides it. And we must realize that everlasting life is a present possession of believers. If you've received Jesus Christ, then we have. It's not, I'm going to have everlasting life. It is, I have everlasting life. Because when I receive Christ, I will not die spiritual death. Because he has given me his life. And I am alive evermore. All the promises that Jesus talks about, everlasting life, starts at your new birth. Starts with that new creation that he makes when we accept him as our Savior. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." 1 John 5:12-13, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." God wants us to know that we have life eternal. It's one of those deep down, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm secure because of what Jesus has done for me. I don't have to earn it. I couldn't earn it. Jesus provided it for me. When we have that, we have also the assurance of eternal life. We have also the assurance that we will not die what the Bible calls the second death. So salvation changes the destination of the soul, ending death's power. Salvation says death doesn't get the last word. But heaven also says death doesn't get the last word. The Bible tells us that Christians, true believers, are with the Lord at death. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." When we leave the body, and when I'm talking about we leaving the body, it has to do with our soul, who we are, our mind, our will, our emotions that is in our body. And those of you that have been around death have seen the instance that takes place. When that person is there and there's life in their eyes, and seconds later, they're not. But they're with the Lord. And Paul is saying, I'm willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wow. But he goes on to say, but it is needful for you that I stay, but I'd rather be with the Lord. That's a phrase I hear a lot today. I would rather be out of this place and with the Lord. I'd rather be out of this body and with the Lord. And that time will come. That's a promise of God. But in the meantime, death in the flesh still has its effects on our body. This body will pass away. Like I read earlier, it is appointed unto men once to die. This flesh is going to, unless Christ returns, then it will be changed. In Luke 23:43, Jesus speaking to the thief on the cross said, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Jesus knew where he was going within hours of being on the cross. But didn't he get put in the tomb? Jesus' own word said, "This day, today, you will be with me in paradise." The thief also then on the cross would be with Jesus that day. To be absent from the body, as a believer, we are present with the Lord. Heaven also declares that death is not the end for Christians. Aren't you glad? It's joyful, in a sense, to do a Christian's funeral service, knowing where they're going, knowing where they are, knowing whose presence they're in, knowing those that have suffered and those that have been in a lot of pain are no longer in that. John 14, the first part of the chapter, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." How do I know it's heaven? Because wherever Jesus is heaven. And he's going to prepare a place for us, and he's going to come again and receive us, and he's going to take us with him. The Bible describes that. What a promise from God. And that happens both with our soul, our spirit, and then eventually with the flesh, when we receive a different body. That's going to be amazing. Philippians 1, 21 and 23 says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Here he goes again. "I wish I was with the Lord, but the Lord's not ready to take me there yet." And it's the same way with us. You're here because the Lord has chosen to not take you yet. Live for the Lord. However, just like Paul, to live is Christ. When I die, it's going to be even better. There's going to be even more. To live for Christ now. Live with these promises. Heaven is the place of the living, not of the dead. Are you alive today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has He given you life eternal? Then you know your destination. You may not know the timing, but you know your destination. You know where you're going. And you know why you're going there. I hear people talk about heaven and what it's like. I know it's good. I know it's amazing. But what makes heaven heaven? The golden streets, the cities, and the magnificent things that are there. There's one magnificent thing that stands above all else, and His name is Jesus. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior, the one who died for me. It's not the place that's important. It's who's there. He makes heaven heaven. And those in heaven are not dead, but alive forevermore. And third, the resurrection says death doesn't get the last word. In fact, the resurrection shouts it. It shouts out, "He is alive. He is risen. He is not here. But He died. I saw Him on the cross. I saw them pierce Him with the sword, with the spear. I saw them put Him in the tomb." But as the angel announced, "He is not here. Go and see. He is not here, for He is risen as He said." Life. Who has the power of life but God alone? There are great guarantees in Christ's resurrection. Guarantees. We are guaranteed our Savior. Romans 1, 3 and 4 says, "Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, the first fruits, the one who conquered death." You cannot conquer death. It took God to do it for us. And He did it through the person of Jesus Christ. He conquered death for you and for me. How did that happen? Well, he took sin from Adam, where sin started, through all of mankind, into our future, however long it goes. He paid for it all. He took all of that sin upon himself in that payment to give us the opportunity to have eternal life, to have fellowship with God once again. We are guaranteed a Savior. Whether or not we accept our Savior is our choice. But we're guaranteed a Savior. Why do people go to hell and get cast into the lake of fire? For not accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what destroys us. That's what gets rid of us. And you study that, it actually is an ongoing death. It's everlasting death. In fact, death gets cast into the lake of fire and continues on dying. But those who are alive no longer deal with death, but life forever and ever. We are guaranteed also a similar resurrection to that of Jesus's. Think, wow. Jesus rose from the dead. He was tortured. The thing his body went through, we don't even want to think about. But you know what? That was the body. And that body rose. How could that happen? The Creator of all has power over all. And He has power over these simple bodies of flesh. And Jesus Christ came out of that tomb alive. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. The Bible is very clear. It teaches us very clearly where death came from, where life comes from. And that with Christ being the first fruits or the beginning of the resurrection of the body, that we as believers will have a similar resurrection. He doesn't stop there. But he continues to teach us. Christ will then resurrect believers' bodies. My body? What about yours? What about those who have been buried at sea? What about those that the wild animals have eaten? The lions have devoured. What about the believers who just disappear? God knows where you all are at. He knows wherever you are. And if He knows that you were eaten by a lion and you passed through and became dust, He knows how to assemble your dust. And He knows how to put you together because He knows you. And you know, there are people who have been eaten. There's believers who have been tortured that way. Are they guaranteed of a resurrection? They are. They have the same promise that we have. Those that have been burned and are ashes. A bodily resurrection? What did God make us from? Dust. And by the way, we're only held together by Him anyway. First Thessalonians 4:13. I hope you don't get tired of me reading these verses, because they're so promising for us. They're so assuring for us. Verse 14, or chapter 4, starting in verse 13. This is what God is going to do for us who are in Him, those who die in Christ, those who are alive in Christ. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What a promise. What a statement that death does not get the last word. When He returns, when He comes, the Bible says that we will be like Him. What is He like? Well, I don't think we can fully understand that in this present world, because our flesh is so dominant that our world and everything around us is so fleshly that we relate to so much of life because of the flesh. So it's hard for us to understand that when I die, I will be with God instantly. That's faster than the speed of light. How is that possible? In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Wow. And all at once, and millions will be changed. Wow. But we will be like Him. We will be like Jesus. Don't you long for that day? in our hearts, and I believe it's when we are saved, in our hearts we so much want to be like Jesus. And our flesh says, let's try this, let's do this. Why do you want to do that? You see the battle that rages on. We want to be like Jesus in our soul and in our spirit because it's the Lord's. And then that flesh starts yakking at us and grumbling at us and complaining about hurts and pains and doing other things. And I'm hungry and I'm tired. And, you know, we don't get tired in a perfect body. Pain, tears are going to be wiped away. Forever. Because death will be no more. Wow. Not dying. Can you ever experience a time when you were not dying? We were born dying. We think we get older and older and older and then we die. In the flesh, that's what happens. We age. Our body gets worse and worse as it gets older. But think about your glorified body. It doesn't do that. What's it going to be like? I can't tell you that. I know it's going to be like Jesus. And we have a couple glimpses in the Bible about Jesus coming to them after he resurrected. He ate. He talked. He walked through walls. He was instantly there and instantly not there. You mean I'll have a body like that? It says we shall be like him. Wow. Over in 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. John didn't know either. But he knew this, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. John knew what he was like before. John experienced the resurrected Christ firsthand, spoke to him. But he's telling us, we shall see him as he is for the first time. We will be like him. Death? Where's death? Who is death? What power does death have on a believer? None. Jesus has taken care of that for us. So the death does not get the last word. Jesus has conquered that for us. First Corinthians 15, starting in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? For the believer, it's gone. It's paid for. Christ paid the price. Do I have life? Yes. We need to live like we're alive. Amen? We need to live like we have eternal life. Not like our flesh is saying, I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dying. You know, I get up in the morning and I do that. I feel like I'm dead. At the end of the day, I feel like I'm dead. You know? But think about it. God's given us life. We do really good until we look in the mirror. Or until we put our feet on the floor. It's like, oh, I'm still in this body. But not always. Not forever. Because we shall all be changed. Amen? And though it doth not yet appear what we shall be, we know we shall be like Him. Real Christians. Christ-like. Ready for that. To get ready for that, the only way we can get ready for that, the only way we can be prepared for that is to have Christ in us. The only way we can have Christ in us is to ask Him to come in. He doesn't force us. Why do I need Him? Because without Him, I'm dead. I'm not just dying, I'm dead. I have no life. We have all kinds of people walking around out in our world today that are dead and don't know it. There was a time I didn't know it. There was a time you didn't know it. When we realized that we were dead and the only one that could help us was Christ and He gave us life, when we experience that new birth that the Bible talks about, that new creation, that new man, that new creature, it didn't change our outward appearance instantly, did it? But it sure changed that person on the inside, our soul. Gave us that spiritual life. It gave us that ability to correspond with God, to understand God's word. His letter to mankind. It gave us the opportunity to come before Him and come before His presence. To sing songs like Blessed Assurance. I'm okay. I'm paid for. I'm free. I'm alive. Wow. And that's not just today. Forevermore. Life eternal, death has no grips on me. And death has no grip on you as a believer. And who is glorified for that? God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do you know Him personally? Have you thanked Him for your life? Have you thanked Him? You know, so many times we go to God for our aches and pains and our problems and our situations and everything, but are we grateful for life everlasting?
more? Are we more grateful or more grumbly to God? Who is he? What is he? What has he done? Does he have power over all things? Do I believe him? Do I trust him? Wow. You know, all of those things are part of our life. Living and walking and talking and trusting and living and walking and talking and trusting some more and reading his word and saying, is that really what it says? Oh, man. He wants me to do what? Yeah. What did he do for you? What's he continuing to do for you? What has he prepared for you? He said, I'd go prepare a place for you. Can you imagine the place that Jesus is preparing for you? Wow. I think it's personal. He knows us. He prepares for us because he knows us. And he's going to come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also forever and ever and ever. Wow. Makes death not look that like that big of a deal, doesn't it? When we start looking at life. Death, it's all around us. But life is all around us as well. Choose life. Choose to live life forevermore. Wow. Can I? Can I do that? Yeah. Jesus paid the price already. Live for the Lord. Let's stand together. Father, we come before you, thanking you once again.